Now, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn with us tonight to the book of Philippians, chapter number 1. Philippians, chapter number 1. We're going to read just one verse tonight, and we're going to read verse 21. Philippians, chapter 1, verse number 21. The Word of God says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Let's say that together, would you? For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Father, dear Lord, I thank you again for your goodness. And Lord Jesus, I ask you to help me tonight, that you might anoint me fresh and new with your Spirit. And dear Lord, that you would take this simple truth that you've given me and do tonight what I simply cannot do, and that is to speak to the hearts of people. And Lord Jesus, tonight, if there's one here that's not sure they're going to heaven, may this be their day of salvation. But help all of us who know you determine that when we leave this meeting tonight, that we're going to make a difference in this world, and we'll thank and praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. The Word of God says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." That's a powerful statement. Powerful statement. I want to speak tonight on this subject, the keys to a powerful life. The keys to a powerful life. What is the secret to a powerful life? What is it? Is it possible for all believers to be powerful Christians? You know, I've been blessed because I have known some powerful Christians. I've known some men and women who had God's hand and God's power upon their lives. I have the privilege of pastoring some people. Thank God for the church. But there are people that have a touch of God on their life. They're powerful. Have you ever met a powerful Christian? Have you ever met one that just, when they spoke, their words had power? Their life made a difference. I had the privilege of working with Dr. Lee Robertson I was there for 9.5 years, on staff for 4.5 years with him. And I loved every moment of it. And I tried to compile some things that I believe made him a powerful Christian. I got to meet some of the ones who came through that ministry. And I made a list of things that I believe that every powerful Christian believes. What I believe is the key to being a powerful Christian. Now, the Apostle Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now, what are the keys? I want you to write them down tonight. Number one, if we're going to be a powerful Christian, we're going to have to nail down our salvation. You got to know that you know Him. The Word of God says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." No one will ever be a powerful Christian until they nail down their salvation. You know, the longer I live, the more surprised I am to discover that there are many church members who doubt their salvation. I mean, they have this doubt. By the way, do you know the devil's greatest weapon is doubt? That's the devil's greatest weapon. That's what he used in the garden when he deceived Eve. He said, "Has God said?" He put doubt on God and God's Word. And I want you to know tonight that there is no great Christian, there is no powerful Christian who doubts their salvation. The Word of God says in 1 John chapter number 5, verse 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Oh, that knowing, that's important. Knowing that you know Him. Has there been a day in your life, a time in your life, when you know that you put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus? You know, I was with Dr. Robertson, his own staff, when he preached his last sermon as pastor of the great Highland Park Baptist Church. And oh, what a night that was. It was a Wednesday night. The auditorium was packed. People were there. The news media was there. And he preached a powerful message. He preached on his life verse and talked about his life ministry. It was a very unusual service that night. There were people that came forward and people trusted Christ as Savior. There were those who had come and joined the church that night. God really opened the windows of heaven and poured out a blessing. But something happened that night that really surprised me. It was my responsibility to be to take care of the personal workers, and so I trained the personal workers for the service. And there was this one lady who came forward. She had been a member of Highland Park for many, many years. She came forward and she came to the altar, and a personal worker took her by the hand and said, "Why are you coming tonight?" I won't give you her name. You may know her. But he said, "Why are you coming tonight?" And here's what she said. "I'm coming to be saved." She said, "I've been a member of this church for 40 years and 6 months. I've heard just about every message Dr. Robertson has preached. And God has spoken to me over and over and over. And I promised God that I was not going to let this service end without settling it once and for all." Now that dear lady was not just a church member. She was one of the key people in that church. And she said, "I've sat here for years and God has spoken to me. God has revealed to me. And I've had these doubts all of these years. But," she said, "I've been too proud to come. But I want you to know tonight I'm settling it. I'm getting it settled once and for all." By the way, thank God for that. Thank God for that. Would to God that every person who holds a membership in our churches would nail down their salvation. By that I mean get the assurance. Make sure that you know God. We will never change this world. We'll never be a powerful Christian until first we get this business of salvation settled once and for all. Now let me ask you a question. Do you know that you know Him? Amen. By the way, this means amen. Let's practice. Amen. Do you know that? The Bible says He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to call sinners to repentance. By the way, God only saves sinners. And the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." One thing we all have in common, we're all sinners. Do you believe that tonight? The Bible says, "For all have sinned." Every single person. The Bible says, "I'm a sinner." I brought with me tonight Brother Matt Burke, one of our good men. The reason I brought him with me tonight is so that you could see what a real sinner looks like. But the truth of the matter is, the Bible says we're all sinners. I want you to look at the person next to you tonight. Look at them. Look at them real good. And repeat after me. "Now I know what a real sinner looks like." We're all sinners. We're all sinners. And we owe a payment for our sin, and that payment is death. And the Bible says that God loved us and Jesus died for us and paid our sin debt in full. Isn't that amazing? He died for you. He died for me. He paid our sin debt in full. And the Word of God says when we come to that place and realize that we're sinners and we have a payment for that sin and we're willing to turn to God in repentance and faith and trust the Lord Jesus, God saves us. I remember the night that I got saved. I went to a church service. My brother was preaching that night. He'd been praying for me for a long time. And I went to hear him for the first time preach. And he preached on Andrew, found his own brother, Simon Peter, and brought him to Christ. That night, he introduced me as his one and only brother. And then he said, "I'm preaching on bringing your brother to Jesus." Took me a little while to put it together. But I realized, when he got started, that he was not just talking about Andrew having a brother named Peter. He was talking about Clarence having a brother named Tommy. And that night, in the middle of his message, he talked about how Andrew must have felt to have a brother lost and dangling over hell with a thin cord. He said, I know how he felt. I was thinking, if I had a cord, there'd be somebody hanging, but it wouldn't be me tonight. I sat in the back of the church. I listened to every word. I did not know that you could get up and leave in the middle of a service. I didn't find that out until I started preaching. That night, I heard that God loved me and that Jesus died for me. That night, I did what the Bible said do, to have peace and forgiveness. And that night, God saved me, changed my life. I know that night. I remember that night. I rehearsed that night. But I want you to know something. Every single person ought to have the evidence that they know God. There ought to be some evidence in your life that you are a child of God. There should be no doubt. I want to challenge you tonight, if you're here and you do not have that peace in your heart, do not go another service. Settle it once and for all. Great Christians, powerful Christians, have nailed down their salvation. Number two, keys to a powerful life. Great Christians understand God's will. I want you to turn with me, if you would please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. In Ephesians, chapter number 5, what does the Bible say? In Ephesians, chapter number 5, the Word of God says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What is God's will? What is God's will? God is not willing that any should perish. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants all people to be saved. Do you believe that tonight? You'll never meet a person that Jesus did not die for, and you will never meet a person that God does not want to save. He wants to save all men. All men. Great Christians understand something. This is God's will. Quite often people will say to me, I want you to pray for me. Pray that I might know God's will for my life. And I always try to encourage them to get this one thing settled first. Understand what God's will is. God's will is real simple. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do we tonight believe that God wants all people to be saved? Do we believe that tonight? Do we believe that God wants us to take the gospel to every single person? Do we believe that tonight? This morning I was listening to one of our men who heads up our nursing home ministry, and he was talking about the services and different nursing homes have been in this week, and we have about 30 or 35 people, I guess, that are involved in that ministry, and every week we're in nursing homes in our county and preaching the gospel and ministering to the precious folk. And he got up this morning and he said, we had a great day this week in our nursing home ministries and different nursing homes around Lee County. He said, we had 11 precious souls saved. And I thought, God bless them. There are people sitting and waiting on death. They're waiting for the end of their life, and thank God somebody takes the gospel to them, because God wants them to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish. He started giving some testimonies about them. In the last 2 years, we've had 15 World War II veterans saved in our nursing home. That's encouraging. We had one lady saved 105 years old. Now that's getting close. We had a dear lady saved 103 years of age. That's close. But I want you to know something. God wants all of them to be saved. And this morning as I was listening, my heart was rejoicing. Men and women every week believe that this is God's will. They go tell people how to be saved. By the way, our state is full of people waiting on God. Waiting. And then I thought for a moment, how many people have slipped through our fingers, stepped out into eternity, who would have trusted Christ had somebody understood that God wants them to be saved. He wants them to be saved. They want to know Christ. In the schools, thousands of young people that can be reached with the gospel. And God wants them to be saved. All over our great state, in South Florida, nearly 13 million people live in this part of the world. Nearly 13 million people. And God wants each and every one of them to know Him and spend eternity in heaven with Him. That is the will of God. Sometimes when you say that to people, they say, that's shocking. God wants them to know Him. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants children to know Him. He wants teens to know Him. He wants all people to know Him. That is God's will. No one has ever become a powerful Christian who did not understand God's will. And number three, great Christians, powerful Christians, have given their life to do God's will. You see, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Great Christians know that they know Him. Great Christians understand God's will. Great Christians have given their life to do God's will. The greatest decision you'll ever make as a child of God is to give your life to do God's will. Take your life and put it in God's hands and let God do something with it. God knows exactly what to do with us if we will let Him spend us. He knows where we fit. He knows what can be done with our life. Great Christians take the reins of their life and they put it in God's hands. That's great Christians. Great Christians. We sometimes think that great Christians are only preachers or missionaries, but that's not true. I believe with all of my heart the greatest Christians are those who sit in the pews and those who work and are in the highways and hedges every day. I heard Dr. Robertson preach many times, and I'm sure you've heard him preach. Dr. Robertson pastored and preached for 73 years. When he was on his 73rd anniversary of preaching, he made this statement. He said, the greatest Christian I have ever known. Now let me pause and say, I used to love to listen to him when he would talk about great Christians. I mean, Dr. Robertson knew these men and women that we read about. He knew them personally. He was a young preacher boy, and he got to meet all these great Christians. And over the years, he met so many and knew so many. And he said, I want to tell you the greatest Christian I've ever known in my life. In 73 years of ministry, the greatest Christian was M.J. Parker. M.J. Parker was a layman. He drove one of those National Linen trucks, those red trucks. He drove it around Chattanooga, around Hamilton County. And M.J. Parker started the Evangelistic Bus Ministry of America. M.J. Parker probably trained more preachers and missionaries in how to win people to Christ and do the work of the Lord than any professor or any staff member at that time. He poured his life in people. He gave his life to do God's will. I have a series of lessons that I teach that M.J. Parker taught me I had the privilege of knowing him and working with him in the final days of his life. And I would get to go visiting with M.J. Parker after he had a stroke. He was about 78 years old, and he and I would go visiting. And I'll tell you what a guy he was. Just a humble servant of God, a layman. Never got a check from the church. A layman. Dr. Robertson told me that he used to keep track of them. He said, I'll tell you, every year he would have 250 plus adults down the aisle he won to Christ personally. A layman. He'd go in the back of buildings and businesses and pick up the linen. He'd say, Cuz is here. Cuz is here. And he just won people to Christ everywhere he went. I'd go with him. I watched him. I watched how he talked to people. What a passionate Christian he was. His heart was so in tune with God's will. He understood something. He said to me, Tom, I want you to know something. God wants everybody to be saved. Everybody to be saved. And God's just looking for someone to tell him. If you'll let God use you, he'll take you all over this world. And then he said something else. He said, you know, every single person that's put on the face of the earth is here to help us do God's will. I said, that's amazing. He said, people want to do something with their life. Help them to know God. Help them to know Christ. I'm talking about a man that drove a truck every day of his life. That was his job. Drove around the city. Would never take a promotion because he said, my truck and my route puts me in the back door where people need God. Now that takes some real wisdom to do that. He could have been on any staff in America. He could have headed up any soul winning work in any church in America. But he chose this one place that God had for him. He was a powerful Christian, a great Christian. Dr. Robertson says one of the greatest Christians he's ever known in 73 years of ministry. He believed that the work of God was to be carried out by the people in the pew. By the way, I believe that, don't you? Great Christians have nailed down their salvation. Great Christians understand God's will. Great Christians have given their life to do God's will. You'll never know what God has for you until you give your life to Him. You see, people get on the wrong side of this thing. They try to figure out God's will for their life, but they don't understand that it is not God's will for your life. It must be God's will with your life. And once you give your life to do God's will, then God reveals His will and His plan and His purpose for your life. Every blessing is found right in the center of God's will. And you give your life to do God's will, and God will cause you to know the way when you should walk. God will show you what to do with your life. As you obey Him and do His will with your life, God will reveal everything you need to know about life. What would happen in this part of the country? What would happen in our state if just the people that I pastor and you precious people tonight made one decision, just one decision, that you're going to give your life to do God's will? And what's that mean? That means that every person you meet, you help them do the will of God with their life. As a matter of fact, the will of God for my life is to help you do the will of God with your life. That's God's will for my life. When I meet someone that doesn't know the Lord, it is the will of God for me to tell them how to know Christ. If I meet someone who is saved and never been baptized, it's the will of God for them to take the next step. Come on now. What would happen if we just gave our life to do God's will, and from this moment forward, every person we met, we helped them do the will of God with their life? Would there be a revival breakout? Of course there would. This world would be changed very, very quickly. You see, great Christians understand you cannot do great things for God, doubt your salvation, You cannot do great things for God and not understand His will. You cannot do great things for God and hold back your life. The Lord Jesus said, if you save your life, you lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake and the gospel, you save it. Great Christians believe God. Believe it. The Bible says in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. What does that mean? That means that we're to believe Him. We're to believe Him. Have faith. The Lord Jesus asked this question. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said, yea, Lord, I believe. Do you know it takes our faith and belief before God can do great things? We all have tonight everything according to our faith. Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. Believe in God. Believe Him. We are believers. That's what we're called. Believing God is what we're supposed to do. They asked the Lord Jesus in John chapter number 6, what is the work of God that we might do God's work? And He said this, this is the work of God, John 6:38, that ye believe on Him. The work of God is to believe. That's what we do. And the more you believe, the more God can do. You may meet people that know a lot more about the Bible than you. You may meet people that can quote Scripture all day long, but you never have to meet one person that believes more than you believe. And it's not in knowing it, it's in believing it that changes the world. Have faith in God. Great Christians believe God. They believe Him. They have faith. They launch out and take a risk for God. Thank God for that, by the way. Do you believe? We have little children. I love children. I love children. I know you do too. And I love to just get around them, you know. And just to hear them talk about their newfound faith. And we'll have the older children come in and they'll make a profession of faith. And this one little girl, about 11 years old, she came, she trusted Christ as Savior, and I asked her, I said, do you believe Jesus died for you? She said, yes. I said, have you invited the Lord Jesus to come into your heart to save you? She said, yes, and I know it's going to work for my family too. I said, God bless you. I know it is too. We're believing God for that. Oh my goodness. What an amazing thing just for somebody to believe God. Believe God. You know, children have faith. They believe. And God wants us to believe Him, trust Him. Great Christians believe God. And great Christians accept the responsibility of reaching this world. Romans chapter number 9, verses 1 through 3, you know what it's about. Paul says, I tell the truth in Christ, I lie not. I wish myself a curse from God for my brother, my kinsman. Paul's saying, I'm willing. I'm willing. Now he couldn't, but he said, I'm willing to die and go to a devil's hell for my brethren, my kinsmen. You know, nobody will ever be saved until we accept the responsibility. We can talk about it. We can see pictures about it. But until somebody accepts the responsibility, nothing ever happens. If you say, I'm going to accept the responsibility to get the gospel at work, then God's going to start doing something. We have to get them in our heart before God's going to do anything. Accepting responsibility. One of these days, our life's going to come to an end. This great verse says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We're all going to come to the end one day if the Lord doesn't come. We're going to come to the end of our journey. And only what we've done with our life is going to last. What are we doing with it? You know, we had one of our great Christians went home to be with the Lord a year ago now. He got saved in our church, just like this brother. He surrendered his life. He knew God's will. And he said, I'm going to make a difference. He started believing God, having faith. I watched God use him. He worked in the medical profession, trained doctors and those in procedures, and God used him in that field. He got sick, got cancer, skin cancer. Got the worst possible kind you can have. The doctor said, you're going to be dead in 3 to 6 months. And that's the way it went. Rick Dugan. God love him. What a man. What a Christian. Powerful Christian. He believed God. He believed God was going to do some great things. I was with Rick when he went home to be with the Lord. He was in the hospice care. And what a Christian. I went in to see him. On the last day that he lived on this earth, his wife had called me earlier and she said, Pastor, I don't think Rick is going to last through the night. So early in the morning I went and he was still with us, but he was in and out. The nurse said to me, be careful, don't disturb him. I said, all right. I sit over in the corner and Rick taught an adult Sunday school class. He sang in a choir, played in the orchestra. I sit over in the corner and I started reading where the Lord Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You be sad. Believe in God, believe in me also. And Jesus, and Rick said, in my Father's house. I thought he's still with us. So I'd read some verses and he'd quote some of them. He was in a lot of pain. And then I sang a little song. There's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. And then he joined in the spirit, and by we shall meet on that beautiful shore. I love you, preacher. I said, I love you, Rick. Rick started singing the sweet by and by. And for almost 2 hours, in the sweet, he sang. Then he said, the angels are here. The angels are here. I said, Rick, is Jesus here? No, but all the angels are here. I can see the sweet by and by. Oh, the beautiful, sweet, high by. In the sweet. Boy, there was a presence of God in that place. Then he reached over and touched his wife's arm and said, bye bye. And went to heaven. Hey. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Great Christians, know how to leave this world. They know how to leave this world. I thought about Rick's homegoing. I was in Tennessee, and I thought of a little poem. I wrote it down. God gave me a little poem about it. Because, see, that day, he left this world and went in the presence of God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. In the Old Testament, you go through a valley, you go through the shadows, but in the New Testament, to be absent from the body, you're present with the Lord. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 51, he that believeth in me shall not see death. I thought, wow, Rick didn't see death. I saw death. He didn't see death. Stephen said, I see Jesus. He didn't see death. He saw Jesus. I thought, what faith? What faith? There are no shadows in death with Jesus. There are no valleys we must walk through. Death is only a doorway, and all of heaven awaits you. Our vision on earth is limited. We can see only into the blue. But in death, our vision is endless. All of glory comes into view. Death takes hold of the body, and our race on earth is done. The battle for us is over. With open arms, he welcomes you. So fear not the end of life's journey. Believe what God says is true. Death has been defeated. And now it is his gift to you. Do you know, great Christians have something special about their lives. They know God. They understand God's will. They've given their life to do God's will. They have faith in God. They accept the responsibility, and they know how to leave this world. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain.